Well, you guys have heard a bit about my story, but I think it's time we heard from somebody else about how they decided to say,
I'm losing it!
Yes, I have brought on someone today as my first guest. Yes, I know Jessica had been on before, but I don't really count her as my first guest because I live with her. But this is my first guest that I'm actually having on who is not in my local vicinity, who is way off far away. And I'm really, really excited because this is a person who I love their story, and as you guys know, I absolutely love stories. So without further ado, let me introduce to you guys David Dushkin.
It's a pleasure. It's very weird to hear your voice not on a YouTube video, but it's awesome to be guest 1B and actually sit down and talk with you.
Yeah. So, David, you have a Facebook group that is called Making the Most of the Second Half.
I do.
And I absolutely love seeing the stuff that is on here. It is an open page. Like, people can go on there and they can talk to you about their own stories and hopefully find a level of encouragement and even some recipes and stuff I know that you throw up there. And just a little bit more about, like, you know, who you are as a person and your life and stuff. And I think it's a fantastic page, and I really do encourage all the listeners to go and like the page.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm going to be 50 in March of 2021. And I had some stuff happen in the last couple of years, and I really just created that page to share my journey of the second half of my life and making the most out of that. And everyone has a story, and everyone has something that they go through in their life. And I just wanted to put myself out there that, hey, this is what I went through. This is where I've been, what I'm going through. And, you know, I happen to be plant-based. My wife is not plant-based. And it's a place where I can promote my plant-based lifestyle. But if someone wants to post their steak dinner and talk about what they ate, then I want them to be comfortable that if you're not plant-based, but you're trying to better your life, our goals are the same thing. And if you have a past, or, you know, like I was suffering from PTSD. I drank a half a bottle of vodka every day, and maybe you've had that same journey, and we may go in different directions on how to overcome that, but we're doing the same thing. And that's why I wanted to create the page, that no one's really alone, and it's okay to have different opinions. And I have my private page, and then I have that, which is I can be more open. And, you know, there's certain stuff that I post on my private page that obviously you don't want the whole world to know about, but I wanted a area where I can talk to other people, and other people can share with me, and I can inspire them, and they can inspire me.
Yes, absolutely. I am in complete agreement with that sentiment. And, you know, from on the YouTube channel, like I've said it numerous, numerous times on different videos, that I don't care how you get healthy. The point is that you try to get healthy.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, like, you know, you and I, great minds, we think alike, you know, in this regard. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on here, is because I knew that you had that mindset. And then I think it's a great mindset to have, especially, you know, if you're trying to actually get people to come over to, you know, a whole food plant-based lifestyle, because it's, I mean, let's face it, everybody from the grandparents going on back, you know, you get more flies with honey, you know, so like,
absolutely. And that,
you don't need to be condescending, and you don't need to judge people and be like, oh my God, I can't believe that you eat this way, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, everybody's on their own path. Let them make their own choices.
Right. Someone's not wrong because they go about it a different way. Like my friend Pete, who I talk to a lot, who has another podcast, but he recently, like me, had a cardiac scare and thankfully, he's doing just fine. There was some testing and, you know, he's perfectly healthy. But it was enough, and he's my age, it was enough for him to change his diet. And he eliminated 95% of meat from his daily food consumption, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, he went, you know, bacon for breakfast, and he eliminated certain kinds of meat. And maybe he has a normal portion of chicken for dinner, but that's all the meat he eats in a day. Yeah. How is he wrong? He's not. Many in the vegan community or plant-based, and I don't mean to knock anybody, but if he's not 100%, he's not wrong. The footprint of his life is huge, right? If you get 10% of the population to go 100% plant-based, it's not as effective as if you get 75% of the population just to eat clean, healthy food like Pete's eating. So yeah. I want to be able to encourage people like Pete and be like, hey, you and I have the same goal. We just may take a different path to get there. But what he's done is an incredible, and he should be applauded for that effort and those changes to better his health. And, you know, if you're coming from it from an ethical vegan standpoint, I get it. But if you're coming from a plant-based standpoint, he's plant-based. It's a diet based in plants. And I was in groups before that you would be considered, and failure is the wrong word, but you weren't doing enough if you still had that one little, you know, piece of chicken at night for dinner, but everything else you ate was, you know, no oil, no salt, no sugar, and plants. That's an awesome diet, and Pete and the world is going to be better for it. And people like that should be applauded.
Yeah. I mean, I even remember seeing studies and stuff stating that, like, if people ate plant-based one day a week, it would have a huge impact on, like, on health, on the environment, you know, any, like, just a huge, huge number of things. And so it's kind of fascinating to me that people get really, really hung up on like that small percentage of something that someone might do that isn't a plant, but, you know, completely negate the other 90%. And yet even you have, you know, doctors like Dr. Furman in the Eat to Live plan, he has the 90-10 split, you know, where it's 90% of what you eat is whole food plant-based, and the other 10% is whatever it is that you decide to eat. You know, I mean, even in the cookbook, there's recipes for egg recipes and stuff. It's like, you know, people seem to forget like that aspect of some of the stuff with the diet. Now, me personally, I mean, like I'm in the 99.9%, you know, it is very rare for me to actually have something that is outside of the plan, but occasionally I do partake in something that is outside of what I normally eat. And I'm not going to judge anybody for doing 100%, and I'm not going to judge anybody for doing 70%, you know, or any of the percentages really, because it's just, you know, it's their decision to do so. And I'd say if they're even doing it 10% of the time, that's still better than not doing it at all.
100%. And if you look at plant-based, paleo, all the different groups, 80% of what we eat is the exact same thing.
Yep.
So the whole argument to me is crazy. And for me, if we just go back to what my parents, what we ate when I was growing up, the only thing that's changed is everything is so much more processed now and the portions changed, right? We always had a salad with dinner. We always had some kind of rice or potato. We always had vegetables and we had a little bit of meat for each person, right? Yeah. It wasn't a 72-ounce porterhouse and a baked potato with sour cream and cream cheese, right? We just need to go back to the way we, you know, used to eat, and everything comes out of the big box store, and we need to go back to the local farm. It's kind of my whole philosophy is we're all really trying to do the same thing. We need just to slow down, take care of ourselves, take care of our community, take care of our planet. And, you know, for me, I have a 10-year-old kid. What the next 40 years, of our lives is going to determine the next 2 to 3 generations.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, you know, the beginning of how I got to where I am now. And it's been a long journey since I, you know, it's been almost 12 years that I've started the attempt of being plant-based, and only for the last year and a half, 2 years, have I really been successful with it. And a lot of that came from dropping the title. Like, you know, I don't have a title for myself of what kind of eater I am.
Yeah, I like that. You know me, I'm not big on goals, and I'm not big on titles. So
yeah, well, I'm big on goals, but they're, you know, there's something to strive for, and they're constantly changing. What I want to do today is not necessarily what I want to do tomorrow. And, you know, like I have huge goals and aspirations that I've learned that when I come up with these big, huge, crazy plans, they usually aren't as successful as when I say, you know what, I just want to lose 5 pounds versus, you know, if I say I'm going to lose 100 pounds, the road is not going to be as successful as when I say, hey, I want to lose 5 pounds. And when I lose that 5 pounds, you know what, maybe we can make it 7 this time.
Yeah. Well, I tell people that my goal is to do well today. And if I can't do that, my goal is to do well tomorrow.
That's it.
It's all very, very simple. But I do have a couple of questions for you. So, and just to get a little bit more with you. So the name of the page is Making the Most of the Second Half. So
correct.
Tell us about the first half.
Let's see. I'm eventually, I'm not working right now. I'm a stay-at-home dad. And I am a former professional chef. I did that for close to 17 years. I'm a retired firefighter, paramedic. I did that for 20 years, born and raised in the city of Chicago, moved to the suburbs for a couple of years after that. And then in the height of my culinary days, I just kind of traveled the country. And I lived in Aspen, New Orleans, Napa Valley. And 9/11 happened, and that moved me out to Maryland, where I thought I would be a DC fireman. And because, you know, I mentioned that I have these big, huge goals, and I kind of left. I was living in Aspen. I moved to Maryland, and I didn't realize that I was already too old to even apply for the DC fire department. So as I was heading back to Colorado, I met Farrica, who is now my wife. And I've been stuck on the East Coast ever since. And I actually told Farrica on our second date that I was going to marry her. And that was 17 years ago.
Oh, wow. You called your shot, huh?
I did. luckily she wasn't too, she was only a little bit freaked out, not a whole lot freaked out. And she gave me a third date, and the rest is history, as they say.
Nice. I like that. So tell us a bit then about how you actually decided to get to the point where you said you were going to lose the weight and get healthy.
At the end of, and I've always been a bigger kid, right? I was just the Sears, Husky,
yes.
You know, I was that kid.
Preaching to the choir, my friend.
Yeah. So I was always that kid, but I never had any issues with it. I was, you know, pretty much a happy go lucky kid. I joined the Army when I was a junior, in high school. I was a 4-sport athlete in high school. So even though I was big, I can still function. And then in the culinary world, I developed a very good eating habit and drinking habit. And by the time my fire department career ended, and I didn't really realize that the PTSD had set in, I went through 4 really significant personal deaths in 2018, 7 trips to the ER with anxiety-caused chest pain, which thankfully was nothing. And I found myself, you know, like I said, drinking a half a bottle of vodka a day and weighing 308 pounds was the heaviest that I remember getting on a scale for. And I used to run all the time. I've run 9 marathons, and I used to run with Braden, my son, all the time. And I got to the point most recently where I was so lost of who I was, that I, you know, Raiden was playing more Xbox than he was running with me. And my closeness and my relationship that I have with him, I think, was built upon all the conversations that we had running together and walking together. And my goal was to see Braden turn 50. And at the rate that I was going, I wasn't going to see him turn 15. And that was really my, you know, bottoming out moment, where I called my wife one day crying that I couldn't go back to work, being the fire department. She gave me permission to retire. And fast forward over 2019 into now, pre-quarantine, I was down 70 pounds. And now 77 weeks into quarantine, I'm down like 65 pounds.
Gotcha. I'm actually doing quite well so far with the quarantine. So it's been able to keep me on track pretty well. I'm quite enjoying it.
Yeah, well, the problem with me is I now have all, you know, Braden, being younger, can eat a handful of chips and walk away from it. But I now have all this, like, nosh food that he can control himself with that I normally don't have in the house. So that's where, you know, like my bad habits, you know, of late night eating and all that stuff and quarantine were coming into play. So that, and I, you know, I was working a really physical job before this, where that helped me keep my weight off when I was working midnights. But now I'm just home all day noshing. So the kind of that, like, bored eating habits are setting in again. And I'm just kind of, you know, getting through that and back in that right mindset. And, you know, hopefully we'll start, you know, getting the scale back down.
Yeah. So I can also tell you, though, I know your son is a gamer. And as a lot of gamers know, like, if you get into something, like, the hunger, the thirst, like, everything else gets shut off. And you're just, like, really, really focused in on the game. And so is he anything like that, though? Like, is that part of the reason why he can just completely avoid the foods?
Oh, yeah. If I or my wife didn't tell him to get off, I don't, you know, I always joke that he'd forget to go to the bathroom sometimes. But, you know, there's that quick moment where he waits to the very last possible minute. And then he does the mad sprint to the bathroom.
Yep.
And then he runs back. But now, you know, he's online. So the only contact with his friends is through that.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a parent, I'm not a big gamer and I don't really like the whole video game thing. But I can't take that away from him, because now it's his only interactions with kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, now it's a little worse, but.
Well, yeah. I'm kind of in the same boat myself. You know, outside of Jessica, the only people that I really chat with are my people online who I play games with. And even then, it's still just like, I get on there just to talk to them, just to sort of maintain a basic level of sanity. So.
Yeah, no, I get it. And for a while, he was really afraid to go outside and deal with this whole virus thing. And, you know, now that he's, you know, there's a lot of kid-based podcasts that are dealing with the subject. So through his own learning and understanding, he's not as afraid to go outside. But, he is very much a rule follower. And if it says that you can't be within 6 feet of each other, then you can't do that.
All right. So, side note question here going for you. Sure. You said you were born and raised in Chicago, right?
Yes.
All right. So then, Sox or Cubs?
I'm from the North Side, but I am a Sox fan.
Gotcha. Well, then we can still be friends.
Yes.
Living in St. Louis and growing up in the Southern Illinois area, you know, we were always Cardinals fans. So.
Yeah. Well, my father and I didn't get along with my father. So that's a whole nother podcast. Well, when I was a kid, I got along with my father very well. And then life happens. But he was a diehard Cubs fan. So because of that, and just because I like to stir the pot so much, that I went for the White Sox. But the White Sox, when I was a kid, were so much better than the Cubs. You know, like Claudel Washington, Chet Lemon, Steve Lamar, Carlton Fisk, you know, all those players. The White Sox are just a better team. And if you, if I really want to ruffle feathers, I will say that no one truly is a Cubs fan. They are a Wrigley Field fan.
Oh, that's funny.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I like that.
Wrigley Field is the greatest place, I'll say in the top three greatest places to watch baseball in the country. And if any team played in Wrigley Field, the majority of the city would be a fan there. Because if your choice is to go, and I still call it Comiskey Park versus Wrigley Field, I'm going to Wrigley Field. And I'm that's going to be my team because that's the greatest place to watch baseball.
Nice. I like that. So I've been outside Wrigley Field. I've never actually been in Wrigley Field, though.
Yeah, well,
there were no games going on when I was there.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I spent a lot of time outside of Wrigley Field, too.
All right, so you told us about the first half. So then you got to the point where you decided to change your life around and get healthy. So tell us a bit about the last 2 years of your life then.
It really, I came to the conclusion that I just needed to get rid of the title, right? So to me, it was just an acceptance that, you know, if I live in Maryland, so if I go out once a year and I eat crabs in Maryland with a group of friends, then I didn't fail my eating habits because I had crabs one day out of the year. And before, if I was trying, my plant-based went back to my firefighter days, and I met Rip Esselstyn from Engine 2.
Yeah.
So he really got me started on the whole plant-based thing, and I was really good. There was a whole group of us in the fire department that I worked for. We went plant-based for like 2 years. We were super strict, and then life happens. And then I would start being plant-based, and, you know, I would eat a piece of my wife's steak, and I'd be like, oh, I'm a total failure. I can't do this. And then, you know, the PTSD slowly crept up on me. And finally, when I hit that bottom point, I just got rid of the title. A lot of my success in being plant-based is because I just wanted to get death and dying out of my life, right? For 20 years, I spent as a paramedic on a paramedic unit, and I never realized how much that 20 years of sickness and dying truly affected me. And I needed to get that out of my life. I'd seen too much of it. You know, like I said, I had those four really close deaths in my life. One of my oldest friends committed suicide after 26 years in the military. And I just needed to get all that death and dying out of my life. And for me, I look at my dog and I, you know, my dog is like a second child to me. And I, the combination of how can I love my dog so much, but I can still eat another animal. Like to me, their life value is equal. And I needed for myself personally to get that death and dying out of my life. And I have a huge cardiac history in my family. And I had all those, you know, chest pain scares. So the triangle, or what's the fancy word? I'd say that triangle of stuff is really all came together at the same time. And that's how I was, you know, that was the key for me to go the plant-based.
Nice. Very good. As you stated before, your wife does not actually eat this way. So how do you actually balance those two things? You said you were a professional chef before. So I assume that you do most of the cooking in the household, right?
I do all the cooking. I think my wife has actually cooked like six times for us. And she does make a mean lasagna. But I, you know, as a fireman, I only worked 8 days a month. So I have always done the majority of cooking because she works, you know, 8:30 to 6:00, And it's ridiculous for her to have to come home and, you know, cook after working all day when I've been, you know, watching TV all day because my kid's at school and she's at work. So it's just, that's always been our routine. And I used to make 9 separate meals a day, right? 3 for me, 3 for her, and 3 for my kid. Then thankfully, Braden, after watching Game Changers, became vegan. So him and I eat the same thing. And for me to cook something for my wife is really super simple. And now I batch cook potatoes, rice, or mashed potatoes and all the vegetables. And then now I'm on my health span solution kick. So, you know, like I have shepherd's pie in the fridge, chili in the fridge, lentil soup in the fridge. So for Farrica now eats whatever sides that Braden and I eat. And now I can just grill her up a piece of fish or a piece of chicken, or, you know, the other day I made her an omelet. But if, you know, Braden and I have black beans and rice and broccoli, then my wife will have rice and broccoli with a piece of chicken. So it's really, it's a huge compromise on her part that, you know, whatever sides you have, just grill me a piece of chicken and we're good.
Nice. Well, it's good that you have found that balance between what she eats and what you eat and what your son eats. And, you know, I for us, it's pretty straightforward. Jessica and I pretty much eat the exact same things, you know, all the time. So it's one aspect of this walk that we can't really talk to. And a lot of people ask us about that, about how do I do this when there are other people in the house that don't eat the same way? And I think that's really solid advice, you know, make things that both parties like, and then if they want something else added to it, then, you know, you can make that chicken or, you know, steak or whatever it happens to be. Yeah, I mean, it's really not that hard to cook that stuff up.
It's not, it takes 5 minutes. And I think a lot of the comments food-wise I get on my page now, because now I share what Farrica eats and what we eat, is comments about being successful in a vegan and non-vegan home. And like, I'm a big fan of Impossible Meat.
Yeah.
And if we make like spaghetti and meat sauce or lasagna or, you know, anything like that, we'll make it with that. And you literally, I think, as my chef side of me thinks that Impossible Meat knocked it out of the park. And once it's geared towards meat eaters, it's not geared towards vegan, and it's not a healthier choice by any means. It's an environmentally positive product. But if I put that in spaghetti and meat sauce, Farrica can't taste the difference whether I'm using ground beef or Impossible Meat. And that's where we truly found our success. Or, you know, if I made a traditional shepherd's pie versus the healthspan shepherd's pie, we'd use Impossible. And then all of us can eat it, right? Yeah. So it's, you just got to find those little bits of compromise. And I think, to be honest with you, I think it's easier that she is the non-vegan versus me being the non-vegan, because I don't have any like misconceptions or machoisms about I need a 16-ounce steak and I need a potato, right? Like Farrica doesn't eat like that. So I think it's much easier, if I can say that, for her being the non-vegan.
I'd really love to research the history behind that concept of, you know, men eating meat is like, that's the manly thing to do, because I can't find anything for it throughout history. So it's like, it seems like it all of a sudden just popped up in the last, you know, 100 years or so.
But, you know, it's funny, and I'll have to message you when I find it, but there's a whole thing I saw on YouTube on another channel about the marketing of meat towards men. And I can remember they showed a Burger King commercial where the guy was eating a hamburger about eating like a man. And, you know, here he had this like big, like triple Whopper, whatever. And it's all, you know, advertising.
Marketing.
Marketing. But I don't think I think it's our own misconceptions and beliefs that, you know, I'm less of a man because I eat plants versus I need a, you know, 20 ounce T-bone and a 20 pound, you know, baked potato with all the, you know,
wrapped in bacon
on it. Yeah. You know, like to me, my masculinity comes from being a great husband and a great father, not what's on my plate.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely. 100% there. All right. So I really only have one more question for you. And it's it's a real straightforward question. I know that you do a lot of running. You do like the 5Ks and marathons and all that kind of stuff.
I do.
Yes. Yeah, so why?
It's a two-part answer. And one initially is because I wanted to prove to other people that I could, right? Because not many people can run a marathon. And I didn't graduate high school. I didn't graduate college. So there's a lot of things that I do. I want to prove to other people. And there, I probably need a whole separate psychiatrist podcast with this, that I can do big things as well. And then it got to the point of, I feel really good running and it's such a mental boost that I can't picture running. I can't picture my life without running now. And I've run 9 marathons and they've all been, for charity, and through my running, I've been able to raise over $30,000 for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society.
Wow.
So there's that big, like, charitable part of it. But to be honest with you, I initially started it because I wanted to prove to other people that I can do really cool, really big things. And now it's my therapy.
Nice. That's really cool, actually. See, I've never been a runner. Like, my father was always into running and doing healthy stuff and working out and all of that kind of stuff. But it's just whatever that is, like that feeling that people get when they actually go out there and run, that sort of, I know people have talked about getting clarity or getting like their best ideas while doing it. Or, you know, like the people talk about the runner's high. Like every time I ever did running, I always just was like, no. Like, don't ever make me do this again.
Yeah. Well,
but,
you know,
but weirdly enough, if you get me on a bike, I have that feeling.
Right. You just need to find your thing. I happen to find it through running. Some people find it through swimming. I would love to be a swimmer and be able to like jump in a pool or the ocean and just swim. And I can't do it. It's painful to even think about going to swim. Like I can take my kid to the pool, but I can't like get in and just swim.
Yeah. I used to love swimming.
It's just, you know, like to me, running was always a punishment in sports. Like if you screw up on, you know, I played soccer, wrestling, baseball, and hockey, you did sprints as a punishment. Running in the army was brutal. Like that's just punishment too. And it took me a long time to be able to find the joy in it. And now, like, I've been lucky. I've run really big marathons. I've run Disney Marathon 7 times. And when you get in the corrals with 20,000 other people and there's all the pre-race hype, and it's just magical.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll get you to run a 5K one day. It's awesome.
Maybe one of these days. I don't know if I'll ever get back into swimming just because, you know, like, I mean, I was never comfortable being in front of other people anyway, so let alone like swimming and stuff. But one of my goals, one of my short-term goals, at least, is to get back to riding a bike. And so I need to actually get my bike from my parents' house. They still have it. My dad still keeps the bikes in good condition, you know.
That's awesome.
My dad loves biking, and he's always like, he's the kind of guy who will go out and find a bike that like somebody threw away and then like fix it up and then give it to somebody. Like he's that kind of a guy. Yeah. So, he's kept my bike, in fairly good working order. So I just need to go and get it from him. And then hopefully my goal is by fall to actually go out there and maybe ride a trail or something around the area. We've got some really great bike trails around the St. Louis area.
Oh, I'm sure. So. You know, I've never been to I've been to St. Louis once, but it doesn't count. I drove through it. But I'm sure, like, you know, just based on the video Jessica just did of being at the Arch, just, you know, you don't have to do anything crazy, but just, yeah, you know, if you get that satisfaction from just being on the bike, any kind of exercise that you do is going to give you that, you know, if you're having a bad day and you, or a stressful day at work and you go ride your bike for 20 minutes, you're coming out a different Brian than you were when you got on that bike and went out the door.
Yes. Well, David, this has been an absolutely fascinating and lovely conversation. Thank you so much for coming on. I truly, truly do appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's an honor to talk to you. I appreciate the friendship that has been developing with you and Jessica and myself. And I look forward to many more conversations and wish you much continued success.
Yes, yes. And same to you as well. But to all the listeners who are out there, please go on Facebook and find Making the Most of the Second Half and follow David in his story and his continued path to getting healthy. You will not be disappointed, I absolutely promise. But I think that is pretty much everything that we can do for this episode, so I will see you next time on I'm Losing It.